this idea of that my next guest had. He is a professor of physical chemistry at UCC, John Sudeau, and it's about diesel cars. He's on the line now. You're very welcome to the programme, Professor Sudeau.
Good morning, Maria. Thanks for calling me.
You're welcome. Now, diesel cars, you think we should look at banning them from cities?
No, but both Paris and London have considered a ban on banning them. And in fact, Paris, from July of this year, will ban diesels that were built before 2001 because of the engine particulates and nitrogen oxides that are thrown out. My point would be is that because of diesel not being good for the health, like burning any sort of fossil fuel like coal, peat and petrol, if big cities like Paris and London with their scientific advisors are thinking of banning diesel, London probably won't add to the congestion charge, then why do we in Ireland really subsidise diesel? It's cheaper at the pumps. You can get some rebate if you're got a trucking business, and there's less tax to pay.
And is it significantly? Does it have a significantly worse effect on health than petrol?
There are ingredients that come out from burning any sort of fossil fuel, as I said. So both petrol and diesel, but diesel does throw out more nitrogen oxides and nitrogen dioxide in particular, being a very important, rather toxic material. There is another toxic material that we call particulate matter. It's very fine particles. It's not really quite soot. It's very small, 40 times smaller than the width of a human hair. And it can get into the lungs and causes respiratory ailments. It's particularly bad for the at-risk population, like children, the old, that those with underlying conditions, people with asthma as well. So diesel does throw this material out, particularly the fleet that was sort of produced before the year 2001. Things have got better in that regard, and from September of this year, diesel engines might well be clean. But the cleanness in terms of those nitrogen oxides and particulate matter is effectively measured in the laboratory. When you put these trucks and cars, new engines, on the road, then things can be different. That is, producing much more of the material that is not good than you think you are.
Do you think that the electric cars and that, like, that they will sort of solve all this problem if we all end up driving one, which is debatable? But do you think that and technology itself will deal with this?
Yes. I work here down at UCC, as you said, in a place called the CRAC Lab, which is Centre for Research in Atmospheric Chemistry. And we're part of the Environmental Research Institute down here, a big organisation, really. And they've just bought some electric cars to do some rapid charging. So it is the future, really. We have to be realistic. In that properly we would need solar panels maybe that charge our electric cars, certainly great, much better battery technology than we have. So at the moment we're stuck with burning fossil fuels, which is not good, but you know, what else can we do?
And as you say, like driving, using a diesel-fueled car is not good for your health. Do you mean for the driver or for the people on the street?
Well, when I was a kid, I was brought up in London, and I used to walk to school because in those days, you know, people did walk to school. But in a big city like that, there were lots of buses and trucks, and I used to get these huge black belches of smoke that I breathe. I mean, I had no idea, but much later on, the World Health Organization would define it as a carcinogen. So diesel is now a carcinogen. It's just like tobacco smoke, as is air pollution. You do need to have sort of continual exposure to these things, and probably be more at risk. So there are issues. But I go back to my point, is I have no understanding as why the government currently subsidises diesel. I would realise that the road transport industry in particular are interested in keeping costs down for themselves and for the general public. But there are also costs that may be hidden in the sense that our medical services have more problems. And, of course, individuals themselves and families are affected by those who become very ill.
Oh, it'd be interesting to see, does anything actually happen about that? Imagine there'd be uproar, though. Everybody would totally kick off, wouldn't they? I'm sure you'd understand that.
Well, probably. I think that's why, even with some of that tax take that you know the government might get from increasing the price, there's a number of things that we have to do around the world, but in Ireland for sure, about educating the public on air pollution and climate change. That's important. We can give, of course. I mean, people like the idea if they know where their money is going, if they understand why their money is going, say, to medical services, and even perhaps to the Environment Protection Agency, which is close to where you are, in order to sponsor research, blue skies research, as well as brown skies research into air pollution and health.
Okay, we leave it there, Professor. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Just one thing. Yeah. If people want to learn more about air pollution, they're interested, go to our crac.ucc.ie website. There's a lot more information about all sorts of things to do with air pollution there.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye-bye. That's Professor John Sudow, Professor of Physical Chemistry at UCC, something for you to think about there. Can I let you know that, if I just hold this up here, yes, St Mary's National School in Ballygunner are putting on their school musical tonight, tomorrow night and Wednesday night at the school hall. It's called Once Upon an Ogre and it starts at 8 o'clock and there's limited tickets available, so I might go along and give them a bit of support. We've had an email from somebody called Mick who says, I just wanted to mention how disgusted I was walking through the city yesterday on a lovely spring morning. It was like a minefield trying to avoid all the dog dirt. And to top it off, finding the attached image, which the emailer says is not of Irish stew, so I'll leave that to your imagination, at Reginald's Tower while a group of visitors to the city were there was embarrassing. If the people of Waterford don't have pride in their city, why would they think that people would like to visit or invest in it? Lots of comments coming in on what we've been talking about so far to 083 333 975, our text line, or 051 846, our phone line. So plenty to bring to you, which I will do after the break.